Praise the Lord. We're so glad you're here today. We're going to move into the service. We got some things to accomplish, some testimonies that I believe are going to help us accomplish what God has pre-planned for us. I get up in the morning and I study to show myself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. But I get up every morning with an open heart, an open mind. A lot of times what I studied is for some other service, some other time, and I think it's, wow, that's good. I can't wait to get church to preach that. But then the Lord says, yeah, well, someday you'll get to, but not today. This will be a different service, but it will be something that I've studied in the past and something that the study part is just to open the door for God to speak by His Spirit to us today and accomplish what He already pre-planned. And I'm glad that He arrives before I get here. Amen. And sometimes I just slow down on the interstate to give Him the opportunity to beat me here because I drive fast. Amen. And I'm just kidding. You know that I am. But we're glad that you're here today, and we believe the Lord is going to speak to us. We're in troubled times. We're in perilous times. But this is, we serve a great and a good God in the midst of all of this trouble and chaos. He's moving today. I believe He's going to counter this manifestation of evil that we are seeing in our world today. It's not going to go away, but God is going to counter it. The reason I believe that is because where sin doth abound, His grace counters it, counteracts it, overrules it, overrides it. Amen. Much more abound. The Greek word is hyperabound. That means superabound. It's not just, you know, this little argument and he kind of just barely does something. No, this is far above and beyond. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm looking for today, and that's why I have hope today, and I hope that's why you're happy today, because you believe that. Amen. And if you don't believe it, maybe when we get done with this service, it'll help you believe it. Brother Taylor, would you give us just a tune while we focus in on Jesus? That's what we want to focus on today. Hallelujah. And the reason that grace flows is because the love of God, hallelujah, is greater still than any tongue can tell. And I'm going to try to tell it, but I'll never, ever be able to preach that out. Hallelujah. Would you ask the blessing today?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord, for your greatness and for your goodness, Lord. You said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So, Lord, help us, Lord God, to come to you, Lord, to look to you, Lord God. Yes. You say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yes. We thank you for your mercies are renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Yes. Stir us up to pray, to seek your face, to do the will of God from the heart, Lord. Cleanse us through the washing of the water by the word. Let your divine will be done in our lives. Move mightily in this service, Lord. Oh, God, help us, Lord God, to have open hearts to hear the word of God and to obey it. Bless Pastor Venable. Anoint him. Direct him. Speak to him, Lord God, and help us to receive your word and to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him today from our heart. He's worthy of the worship we're going to give Him today. Hallelujah. And the Bible said everyone that has this hope purifieth himself. So it's a purifying hope as well. It's something that makes us want to live close to God, get close to God if we're not close to God, because surely Jesus is coming soon. He told us when you see these things begin to come to pass, not when they're all fulfilled, but when they start. It's almost like a domino. Have you ever said, anyone ever watched YouTube or somewhere where they set up maybe, I don't know, 1,000 dominoes, 1,500 dominoes, and they got them all set up in a pattern, and when they tip one, it tips another, and it completes the entire pattern. It just keeps going until every domino is down. He said, when you see certain signs, these things begin to come to pass. When they start, lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. And he's saying that to the redeemed by the blood of Christ. This is him coming for his bride and his church. Praise God. Amen. In certain circumstances, he said, when you see all this, it's even at the doors. Hallelujah. Praise God. So thank you for the hope that we have in the Lord, Lord Jesus, today. Amen. And until he comes, we need to trust him with everything we are, everything that we have. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give him. We may replay that in just a little while, but I want to bring a scripture right now. You can be seated if you can. I appreciate that song. I'm going to tell you why. Because Doug and I don't conspire about what I'm going to preach, because I don't know what I'm going to preach until I get here a lot of times. Not because I don't plan and pray and study. It's because I want the Holy Spirit to speak through me. Not that I'm some special vehicle for him. I'm just a pastor of a church. I'm a shepherd over sheep. Amen. Shepherds were not the high class people, and they still aren't if you're a true shepherd. I remember Sister Becky telling me one time, she said, Brother Venable, a true shepherd has the smell of the sheep on him. Well, they did, and it didn't smell good either. Before you sheep get the big head, I just want you to know that. They were the lowest class of, they were, I mean, I've been blue collar in all the jobs I've ever had. I worked for Tampa Electric. I worked for a production plant. I've worked in different jobs, and they were all blue collar, and they were all physical. They were not mental. I didn't have to, you know, what was the song that about the coal miners has a back that's a mind that's weak and a back that's strong. That's all it took to do the jobs that I did. Amen. And so my mind is still weak and my back is still working after all these years. Amen. But God is good today. Hallelujah. So what we bring to you, and I'm so glad God precedes us here. I want to read a scripture from Psalm 116. We're going to have a testimony today. We're going to have a deliverance prayer here today. And God knew that was going to happen before I got here. And I'm just trying to follow the lead of the Spirit today. Psalm 116, 1 and 2. You've heard this before. I want to talk to you about two things out of this psalm. Number one, God bends down to listen when we pray. He doesn't sit aloof in his heaven. I understand what it means to pray through. It means to pray until you are convinced that you have prayed in faith and God is listening and answering. And then you can trust him from that point. You can cast your care. You can cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. And the place you do that is in prayer. He bends down to listen. He cares enough. As a matter of fact, I asked Mike in particular to pray an intercessory prayer with me Sunday afternoon after the service. And part of that prayer was that he cares so much about us that the very hair of our head is numbered. Now, I love Pamela with all of my heart. We've been husband and wife for 63 years. I'm still in love with that woman. And you can tell her I said it when she comes back to church. Amen. Hallelujah. And I tell her frequently that I love you. And she tells me that. We still have what you call a sweetheart love for one another. And they got it too. Amen. Brother Taylor never refers to her as Rose or my wife, my sweetheart, my sweetheart, my sweetheart. Amen. And so we found out some sweetheart things, and I'm not even going to go there, so we don't want to make anybody red-faced. Amen. God cares so intimately, personally about you and me. He said, Jesus tried to get us to see it in a practical way. He said, a sparrow is sold for a farthing. It's the least of the things you can buy in the marketplace. There's nothing you can buy cheaper than one sparrow. And yet not one sparrow falls from the sky that lives out its days and falls from the sky without your father. It's not that he's just keeping account of sparrows and all of that, you know, because he's a good accountant. It's because it touches him. Anything in his creation that hurts or has a need touches the heart of God. Amen. Touches the heart of God. I was out in the backyard and I saw three blue jays chasing a very young mockingbird. Evidently they had a beef with the two kinds of birds. I guess that would never happen in our culture, but anyway, you know, Republican birds chasing Democrats and Democrat birds chasing Republicans or whatever the politics are. But I saw this little mockingbird flying, running from the three jays that were squawking and chasing him. And he hit, I was in the backyard. We have an oak tree in the backyard I pray for every hurricane season. I've actually, when it comes over us, one of them came over us. I just lay my hands on it because if it comes down, it's coming down on my house. And it's a big granddaddy oak. I've laid hands on it for three hurricanes now and prayed that God would keep it. I keep it anyway. It's my prayer. I won't tell you all the detail, but it's still standing and my roof is still on and God is still good. But that little bird hit that tree. He was looking back evidently to see how close they were on him, and he hit the tree and it broke his neck. But before he died, he fell at my feet. He just fell at my feet. And I reached down and picked him up. And I in my own human concern and compassion, I thought, you know, I wish I could nurse this little bird back to life. I wish I could do something to make it live, because it was taking those last gasp. The neck was broke. And it hit me that the God who created heaven and earth, who sometimes seems to be so far and so distant above. Jesus said, I want you to understand something. A little sparrow, the most insignificant, in not just in worth, but in the marketplace, but in the air. A little sparrow, not one, falls to the ground without it touching your Father's heart. The reason this is in a love context, because he said, and you are worth more than many sparrows. There's no comparison. So when we come to God, the Bible said he's touched. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our needs, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and grace to help you in the time of any need. Come with courage, come with confidence, come with the full assurance of faith that God will respond to you and react to you. He bends down to listen when we pray. That's why we have his ear. You know why we have his ear? Because we have his heart. We have his heart. For God so loved that he gave his son. It's sacrificial stuff. And it gets almost like a given. If you're a Christian, you've heard it for years. We receive communion, and I preach on the dangers of communion. You know, one of the real dangers of communion. It's not that we receive it unworthily. That's not the real danger. The real danger is that it will become routine. It'll become a ritual. Just like going to church and singing certain songs and hearing them about the cross, that it will just be a given. Yes, I'm saved because Jesus died for me, shed his blood on the cross. We'll never know the real depth of the love that was demonstrated when he died on that cross. Amen. So not only does he bend down to listen to Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has inclined his ear to me. He's heard my supplications because he has inclined his ear to me. And because of that, he said, I'll call on him as long as I live. That's counterpart in the New Testament is pray without ceasing. Never quit praying, because you know how God responds to us when we pray. And the thing about prayer is you don't pray till you get goose pimples, and you don't get goose pimples in order to pray. You pray sometimes when heaven seems like brass and God seems so distant. Amen. If he's bending down to listen, it don't matter how you feel. You need to know the fact of the matter, that he cares so much about his children that when we call upon him, he bends down, he inclines his ear. It literally means, in a practical sense, he bends down to listen. I'm short, and I need a short person. Where's the shortest person in the room? You win. When you were about that high, you used to have things to tell me, amen, when you were about this high. And she would come up and want to tell me something. And there's adults all around me. And not only that, Sherry did too when she was about that high. Amen. Can you believe she was that high one day? People in our Sunday school class would come, and all the adults would be praying for people. And here come the little people from Cherbear's Sunday school class. They're coming in while we're praying for all the adults, and someone is patiently waiting that drew a picture of me. Amen. And they wanted to show the picture that they drew in Sunday school of Pastor Venable. In fact, your daughter didn't know my name for a long time. Amen. She didn't. She just called me Hallelujah. They had a video of one of the services, and she said, Hallelujah. That's Hallelujah. Because I say Hallelujah so much, she didn't even know Brother Venable. That's Hallelujah right there. I know him. And they would bring me this picture of a stick person, you know, with a beard. Amen. And they said, look what I drew for you. Or they'd draw Jesus in their perception of him. And in order for them to say something to me and me to see anything they were saying, I couldn't just stand up like I do with adults. I had to bend down. And the reason I took time to bend down to listen is I want them to know someday about the God that we serve. Now, there's a lot of adults still don't get this because we're trying to get God to respond to us. And we're in a crisis, and we feel all the pressure and all of the emotion of the crisis that we're in, and we're crying out to God, and we wonder why we can't sense that he's hearing, and maybe that he's going to answer, and you can stand right back up for a minute. We'll get it over with. Amen. I know it. I'm long-winded. No, sit down. It's better that you sit down, because if she wanted to tell me something right now, at the height she was back then, even shorter, I would have to do this to hear it. Not because I'm hard of hearing, but because I want to hear what she has to say. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Amen. When David said, when I pray, I know what's happening, he had a revelation of prayer before the cross. And it stimulated a love for God, because he said, if I serve a God that when I start talking to him, he bends down to listen. He inclines his ear to me. He said, I love the Lord because he's that kind of God. Amen. He's that kind of God. We make it a faith issue just in the force of our faith, the power of our faith, when in reality, it's about his love for us, his watch care over us. The reason faith works and the reason we should have faith in him is because the kind of love and the quality of love that he loves us with. I love the Lord because we used to sing it. Remember the song based on Psalm 116? I love the Lord because he heard my voice. I love the Lord because he heard my cry. I love the Lord because he heard my prayer. Amen. Stimulated by that. Turning his ear. Inclining his ear. Turning his ear always to me. So not only does he turn his ear to us, and we need to not just visualize it, we need to understand it. It needs to be crystallized in our heart. God listens. The reason we're able to pray a prayer of faith is because we know how he is responding when we pray. And if you don't know that, then we haven't come to know God. Amen. We don't know his heart. We don't know how tender his heart is. And we think he's so far and he's so distant. This God who created heaven and earth, it still blows me away. I mean, I'm chewing on this after all of these years of knowing it, walking in it, but it's still, it's overwhelming to know when I say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that he's immediately responding to me. How do you know that? I just read it to you. And I know it because of the kind of God that he is. The Bible said in Romans 8 and verse 32, it says, let me back up. Let's pick up Romans 8 and verse 28. How many have ever heard this? Amen. All things work together for good to them that love him and are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And the Bible said, if he loved us enough, on down in that particular context, if he loved us enough to offer up his only begotten son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? There's no greater love than that. He can't say it any clearer. The thing is, Dave, this is before the cross. This is before the cross was preached. We've got not only, amen, the cross that we can look to demonstrate a love like the world has never known, and the kind of love for us that causes him to bend down and listen when we begin to pray. David didn't have that. He loved him back for answering his prayer. He knew when the answer came, God had taken him personally, seriously, and had listened, amen, to his cry unto him. And he said, I love the Lord. He heard my cry. I cried unto the Lord, David said, and he heard me. That's the issue of prayer. Listen, the power is not in the person who prays. The power is in God who hears. Because we know if God hears us, we have the petition. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. He heareth us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the answer. Bev Ellis, a great singer, preacher, used to listen to him. A friend of his, well, actually, when he was preaching in Hawaii, a friend of his called him and said, I just took your son to the hospital. He has a brain tumor, and he's having the reaction to that tumor. He's holding a meeting. He said it just overwhelmed him. It just came on him like a tidal wave washing over him. My son is in jeopardy of dying. He has a brain tumor. As time went on, he said he found out on the way home, when he got home at the airport, he found out the doctor's diagnosis was it's inoperable. It's inoperable. We can't fix this. He has a short time to live. He's already having reactions to that tumor pressing on the brain. And he said, once again, this wave of fear and helplessness and hopelessness came over me. And he said, but I cried unto the Lord. You see, that's what David did. That crying unto the Lord is not whining. It's not this. It's calling out with an urgency and a fervency in prayer. It's something missing in a lot of prayers. Some prayers are so pretty, they should be embroidered and put on some kind of plaque in a Christian bookstore. And some beautiful sayings are. But when you're dealing with God, don't worry about eloquence. Don't worry about how pretty it is. What makes it powerful is you serve a God who cares enough about you to incline his ear to you. He said, when I hear prayer, I stop and I begin to listen intently. Amen. Let me tell you something about the presence of God before we finish Bev Ellis' testimony. In the book of Revelation, God is seated on the throne. He's in his heaven on his throne. And yet there's an angel that has golden bowls. The Bible calls it vials. And it's not about a chemistry lab and a Bunsen burner. Amen. No, these are this is bowls, golden bowls full of incense, of fragrance, something that is pleasing. You're going to decorate for fall, I heard you say it, right? Are you going to get any smellies?
You know, pumpkin spice.
Potpourri, pumpkin spice, incense, sweet smelling, savor. Even Jesus' death on the cross was like incense to God. It was a sweet smelling savor that his son would obey him to this degree. In the book of Revelation, God is on his throne. He's in his heaven. But the prayers of his people, all of them have been figuratively, but it's more than figurative. It's figurative in the sense that we can help understand it, but it was really happening. Amen. They brought golden bowls full of incense, and God is pleased with that. And what is this? John asked, what's going on here? This is the prayers of the saints in the presence of God, becoming a spiritual blessing. Outside the veil, they burned incense day and at evening. Every morning they burned it just outside the veil. The holy place was separated from the most holy. And the odors came up inside the veil into that where God's earthly presence was being manifest in the tabernacle. Golden bowls full of incense, which are what? The prayers of his people. That's how personally, that's how seriously, that's how it. Someone said it this way. They said prayer is the highest form of praise. I thought it's when I lifted my hands and did the chicken dance and ran around the church with such joy. I got the blessing. That's all I got. But God's got the blessing when I prayed and I praised him and thanked him. I love the Lord, David said, because he heard my supplications. I love the Lord because he inclined his ear to me. He bends down to listen. If he's going to bend down to listen, and my prayer is preserved in the very presence of God himself, and it blesses him when I make him my source. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. And you don't just stand on the word because of the faith that comes through the word. You pray in faith. When you pray in faith, you honor God for faithfulness. Let me say that again. When you pray in faith, it honors God for his faithfulness. Because if you've got faith in him for the answer, you've got faith in his faithfulness. That's why the shield of faith for me is not my faith always being such a high level that I'm able to absorb every trial, every test, everything. No, it's faith that he will defend me, that when I cry unto him, he will answer. I went through a heavy trial not long ago. I told it in church. It was a spiritual attack, and I hadn't had one of them in years. I've been kicking the devil's rear for a long time in faith, and I just did him off of my back. Amen. But this particular time, it was like a heaviness that just came, and it was an oppression. It's the only way I can describe it. He fights me. Because he knows, he fears the anointing. I'm not claiming anything other than the fact that I'm a God-called truth teller. Can I say that? I'm a God-called truth teller. And he fears the truth because he's a liar and the father of it. Amen? He fears the truth. And he knows what truth will do for anybody. If you continue in my word, if you continue to come here, you're going to continue in the word because you're going to hear a whole lot of it. Can you say amen? You will know the truth. Not just theological principles and truth from the scripture, but you will know him who said, I am the way and I am the truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. You'll come to know him. And you'll know the God of truth. And the truth will make you free from every device of the devil, the wiles of the devil. And that word wiles means strategy of deceit. He can't defeat you if he can't deceive you. And he can't deceive you, amen, if you're armed with the truth. I told you the story to lighten it up just for a moment before we pray for people. Man was driving down, according to this. This is a fictional story. I'll try to separate it. He's driving in the country. He's a city guy. He's driving in the country, and he just wanted to get out of the city, just see the sights. So as he's motoring, he sees a sign by a farm, an old farmhouse with screen door sitting off the road, front porch, and man sitting on the front porch, and the sign says, "Talking dog, $50. Talking dog, $50. He said, "I got to check this out." So he drives in the yard. He gets out of the car. He thought, you know, this is foolish to even do, but I just got to know what in the world is he talking about. And he walks up on the porch. There's an old hound dog, old long-eared hunting dog. He's laying over in the edge of the porch, and he hardly even looked up. And he said, "Sir, I saw a sign. I'm just motoring through the country. I want to know what are you talking about? Talking dog? $50? He said, "Absolutely. Absolutely." He said, "I'm trying to get rid of him. I asked 100. Nobody stopped. So I lowered the price to 50. He said, "If that dog right there, you talking about that dog right there?" He said, "That one right there." Said, "He can talk. Talks all the time." He said, "Let me show you." He said, "Tell him about yourself." The old dog looked up, looked back down, he looked up again. He said, "I can talk." And the man jumped back. "You can talk?" He said, "Absolutely." He said, "I have been used by the CIA. They would take me to an embassy of an enemy of the United States, and they'll take me inside and walk out and leave me in a room, and I hear everything they're saying about America and all their plans, and then they give me a treat and I tell them all those plans." He said, "I have been honored by the President of the United States, the CIA, and the FBI. I have been to many nations all over the world, and I am famous, but it's all in secret. Nobody knows I can talk." He said, "Well, I know it now." And the man is just sitting there in his rocking chair, saying, he's going like this. And the man turned, screamed, said, "Listen, that dog can really talk. It's a miracle. And you're going to sell him for $50? Why would you do that?" He said, "Because I'm sick and tired of his lying mouth. That old dog has never been off the porch. He won't even chase a rabbit. He won't even come in to eat. He wants me to bring his food to him. And I'm tired of his lying mouth." You know something? We've been told in Scripture that the devil is a liar. And he's the father of lies. And he's a murderer from the beginning because of his lies. And one of the lies he tells when you're emotionally upset and you're just seeing all the bad, that God isn't hearing. He's too distant. He's too far aloof in his heaven. And we don't have the joy of answered prayer. If you start getting your prayers answered, there's a joy. We had a financial kind of situation where we had and this is just a little personal thing. Our hot water heater went out, and we had lukewarm water to bathe in. And you try to do your dishes and get the soap off of them with lukewarm water, it doesn't work very well. We could bathe in it. It's all right. Pamela said, "It's okay to not get all the soap off of me, but I want soap off of my dish." And I thought, I don't blame you. So Pastor Venable went out and tried to fix it. Well, I couldn't fix it, and we had to do what we hate to do, and that's call a plumber. Because when they drive up in your yard, there is an automatic big bill. And then they start charging for how long they stay, and then they start charging for the parts, and then it's a big bill, and right at the end of the month, we couldn't, afford a big bill. So we just prayed, said, "Lord, we're gonna call a plumber and trust you to provide." We got to have some hot water. So somehow, oh, Brother Vim, you live that close? I've lived that close all my life. Amen. And when we get paid or anything comes in, it's like gravy through a goose. You can imagine. Well, maybe you shouldn't, but, you know, it comes in, we put it in, we pay the bills. It goes in, it goes out, it goes in, it goes out, it goes in, it goes out. So a plumber, we called a plumber. And the plumber came. And he's just working for a plumbing company that's in Plant City, local. He came and said, what's wrong with your hot water heater? I said, well, this and that and the other. He said, well, let me have a look at it. And I thought, go ahead, but hurry up. Can you say, man, just fix that thing and quick as you can fix it. And so I had everything cleared away, and he got his drill out, and he opened up the panels, and he said, well, I think it was set too low, and it's got something building up on it, and this, that, and the other. And he said, I'm going to turn it up. It'll get nice and hot for your dishes and your shower, and I don't think we're going to have to replace anything in it. I think you can fix it right here. And I said, well, thank the Lord for that. He said, absolutely. And he took care of that. And I'm waiting for him to, you know, tell me the rest of the story. And he said, it should be fine right now. He said, but if you have a further problem, just call us back. And we started to walk around, and I was thinking about, you know, him giving me the bill. And he said, and what is your name again? I said, my name is Robert, your first name. And your wife's name? I said, it's Pamela. He said, okay. And he stopped and he said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will bless Robert and you will bless Pamela. And he prayed something else. He said, and I pray that you will bless that hot water heater to work for them. And I thought, I love you. You're my brother in Jesus Christ. And I want to give you a holy kiss right now. Can you say? I'm serious. I mean, I didn't really want to kiss him, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, I was expecting 150, 200, whatever. And not only did he fix it for free, he prayed over us that God would bless us by name. He must knew something about this God that we're serving. He must know. And then, on top of that, he prayed over the hot water heater that it would work. And it's working. Hallelujah. And I thought, Lord, this is a little thing. But it's a thing. Hallelujah. Amen. This is not a cancer heal like I was healed of cancer and leukemia. But it's a thing. It's prayer being answered. It's David saying, listen, the God I serve when I pray, he must have listened because he answered. He leaned down to listen, but he came down to answer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I just thought I'd tell you that to help your faith a little bit today. Amen. And the thing about it is, this is a plumber with a lot of people working for him. I don't even know the man's name. I thought, yeah, I was so overwhelmed. I thought I should ask his name and pray that God would bless him. But God knows who he is, and I ask God to bless him for blessing us. It's a little thing, but it's an indicator that God cares enough about everything in our life. If the hair of our head is numbered and God knows them all together, that's a God who cares about you. Amen. And if he loved us enough to offer up sacrificial language, Romans 8:32. If he loved us enough to offer up his son, that means to give him as a sacrifice to die in our place. His son, our sacrifice lamb. How will he not freely with him give us all things? What would he withhold from us because of the fact that he's already given that cost him more than anything and demonstrated love more than we can possibly imagine? This is the God that we serve today. He comes down to listen. He leans down to listen, but he comes down to answer. And David said, I love him back for that. I love him too. I love him because of the cross, if he never did anything. I love him because he died for me. And their churches say, that's it. Just love him because of the cross. Don't expect answers to prayer. Just don't pray for anybody. Just don't believe for revival. He died on the cross. You should love him and serve him all the days of your life. But that's, he's not done. He died on the cross so that we could have access to him in a way that that David never could have dreamed. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of any need. For we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our needs, our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly. Come boldly. Come with courage and confidence. God is bending down to listen. He's going to come down to help. Amen. Say amen one more time. I love that. Praise the Lord. If they say amen too much, just so you know, it's like telling sick 'em to a bird dog. So if they start saying amen, time is going to run out on us. And we're going to pray in just a few moments. He comes down to listen. The psalmist discovered, amen, God's willingness to hear and answer prayer. And it moved him to never stop praying and never stop believing. Hallelujah. If you're God's child, the whispered prayer speaks loudly as the shouted prayer. If you belong to the Lord, amen. Prayer doesn't overcome God's reluctance. It lays hold on his willingness. Beth Ellis cried unto the Lord. He's on his way to the hospital to visit his son. The doctors have already said he's only going to live a short time. He's already having reactions, amen, to this tumor pressing on the brain. It's too invasive for them to even consider surgery. He said, but when I prayed, he said, I felt something in my own spirit. I felt like God is saying to me, I've taken care of this. I've taken care of this. And he put it this way. He said, I know that my son's going to be all right. I don't care what anybody else says. I know God has heard my cry. I know he's heard my supplications. And I know that I know that I know. And that's exactly, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, we know, is that a know that I know that I know? Amen. It wasn't just a feeling. It's a fact in Scripture. It was God's will to do it. He prayed, and that released the will of God to come down and carry it out. Hallelujah. He said, I got to the hospital. I walked down the hall, and he said, my son's doctor came out to meet me. He said, Mr. Ellis, I'm sorry that you were so upset. He said, I'm sorry that, she said, but listen, the x-ray, the CT scan, all the scans they did, they see the two tumors. He said, we couldn't possibly consider, but we thought we'll check one more time, see if there's any possible way. We brought in another surgeon and said, do you think you could go in? And they brought him in, and they put him through this, all these tests again to look at the tumors. And they said that when we went back and looked at all of the data, he said, you know, it's hard for men of science to say these things because they're reasoning, logic, thinking, training, intellect. He said, they're gone. They were not there. Sir, they were not there. And he said, I know. You know why he said, I know? Because he knew that he knew what he knew before he even got there, that God was on top of this. He didn't know how God was going to do it, but he knew God was on top of this. I knew that I knew that I knew. When that drops in your heart, amen, you'll know. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the petition. If you know you have the petition, you don't have to keep praying because you know. Many prayers are just crying over and over for God to do something instead of coming to some point where you accept that if God heard you, then He's got this. So not only does He bend down to listen, He comes down to answer. I want to read you one scripture real quickly. We have a testimony. Listen to Exodus 7 through 9. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them. Everybody say He bends down to listen. He comes down to answer. Hallelujah. Oh, I like this. If I get excited, please forgive me for being... No, don't forgive me. Just look over me. When you get answers to prayer, it kind of changes everything. Religion is not just some ritual we go through on Sunday. We have a relationship with the God of the universe, of children, that we can call the God that created heaven and earth our Father. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you something. If my daddy was rich, I'd be driving a, I don't know what I'd drive, but I'd drive something bigger and better than what I'm driving, and I love what I'm driving. Amen? Because it don't break down. Anything don't break down, I love it. Amen. I got anything I can put good tires on, I love. Amen. I drove on Maypops for many, many years. You go and they got tires that they took off a car, and they sell them cheap because they just took them off because they got a new set. And now, boy, I fought envy. I thought, here's somebody getting a brand new set of tires. My tires are Maypops. And guess what I put on them to replace them? Maypops. It became my brand. What are Maypops? It's tires whose tread is gone. They're almost gone. And they're slick. And any little thing you run over may pop them. Amen. This is back in the day of inner tubes. Not tubeless. They had inner tubes. And if a little tack, you run over a little tack, it goes through, it's going to pop that inner tube. You're going to have a blowout. And I thought, Lord, look what you brought us through. Look how you've helped us down through all of these years. We first got married, first little trailer we lived in, we couldn't afford no septic tank. I was working for Tampa Electric, but I was on the bottom of the pay scale. And so I dug that bad boy back in the day. I dug it. Amen. I put a barrel in it. I've run something to it. Man, what'd you do with your garbage? We couldn't afford garbage service. Are you kidding me? We had an acre of land, had that trailer on it, and I dug so many holes, about 100 feet behind my trailer. I dug pits. I was a hoss back in the day. Amen. Just because I'm little don't mean I wasn't strong. I dug holes. We'd fill up a hole and I'd cover it over, and we'd dig another one, fill it up, I'd cover it over. Yeah, amen. Whoever bought that property from us, if they ever try to do something in the backyard, they got a big surprise coming. Amen. There's 5 years of garbage back there. Amen. But God's been good. I tell you, God has been good. He hasn't made me rich like so many people are promising, and I'm not even looking for that. I'd rather have a prayer answered than $1 million in the bank. Can you say amen? Because not only do I get the need met, whatever it is, through answered prayer, I get to know the God that I'm talking to, and to know His love and His grace and His mercy and His person and His power, and know there's nobody like Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to come down. I will come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into the good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I think in today's society, he'd also say the Uptites. Can you say amen? Because so many are. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I've seen the oppression that they are under, and I will come down and deliver them. Hallelujah. Oh, I will give it to you. Exodus 3:7-9. So he bends down, he comes down, and just a moment, we'll have a testimony about what God is able to do and what he did. Would you come and share that testimony today? Hallelujah. Are you ready to pray for God to do some wonderful things in our midst today? Hallelujah.
So I have been with the Venables for 51 years.
51.
I was 12 when I started church with them. But anyway, in my early 30s, I was married and I had three girls. I was supposed to have a tubal after the third girl, but my husband begged me that he wanted a boy. So I got pregnant again, didn't know it was a boy yet, but anyway, I went to a regular doctor's appointment. And on that day, they told me that it was a boy, but then I needed to abort the child because he had a cyst on each side of his brain. And he was going to be born with his insides on the outside of his body, and he would never live past 3 months. And it was on a Wednesday, and that's back in the day when we had Wednesday night service at the Holy Church of God in Suffering Springs.
Yeah.
And after I left the doctor's appointment, I went to the library because they told me, I don't remember, Tuscomy 18, and Tuscomy 21. One is Down syndrome and one is the other one that they were telling me. And it was terrible. That's how I read about all the terrible things and that the baby would never live. But that I needed to abort the child. So I went to church that night and Brother Venable anointed the baby. And he said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you, sis, to die. Satan, you have no place in this child's life. Now you go get another sonogram, Lisa." And I did. But the doctor was like, "Oh, Miss Lewis, you know, we're going to send you genetic disorder classes. Just, you know, you need to have the abortion." And I said, "No, I'm not having this abortion." I stopped reading about it because it was interfering with my faith. But you're looking at him right there.
Brother, would you? Praise the Lord.
And if I would have listened to the doctors, he wouldn't be here. But in his baby book, I have the diagnosis of the bad report, and then it says previously cited cysts no longer exist, cannot explain.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. You see, evidence. When he comes down to answer, then there's more than just a theological principle involved. There's a person that we're talking to that happens to be the God of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's our God today with a better covenant established on better promises than the covenant that they had in the old covenant. And it wasn't a bad covenant. It was a good covenant. Somebody asked me, how good was it? It's your fault we're staying late. Can you say amen? Can I tell you how good it was? David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Amen. Hallelujah. He said,
Psalm 107, it says
four times.
Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Amen.
Four times
in Psalm 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy to the sons of men. Wonderful works. His miracles. In the new covenant, a man is healed at the gate beautiful. He runs into the temple he never had walked. There's a miracle occurred. He runs in leaping, running, praising God. They saw the miracle. And many turned to the Lord because of that miracle. It upset the people in the Sanhedrin, the highest ranking religious body of that day. It upsets people today, amen, when God works miracles and does the supernatural. There's charlatans out there. There's put-ons. There's fakes. There's phonies using people's needs, amen, and their hurt and their pain. But listen, there's a genuine. There's a real. The devil would like to whitewash it all away, but there is a genuine. There is a real. This young man is real. This is a genuine miracle. And it's not because I'm special, it's because he's special and you're special and y'all are special and God is special today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I was healed of leukemia. Glory to God. I'm here going on 79. Amen. I was supposed to be dead before I was 9 years old. I'm 70 years past the nine. And the doctor, you know what he said? What he wrote down? Spontaneous remission. But guess when the spontaneous remission occurred? It was after hands was laid on me in the name of Jesus Christ. And I was anointed with oil. My mother and dad couldn't accept they're going to lose their son, their only son. So they took me to church. There was a time you could go to church when nothing else would help. You could get a prayer of faith prayed. You could get somebody to pull out a bottle of anointing oil. And according to James 5:14, there was a time when God showed up and God showed out. Amen. So they persecuted them because of this miracle, and they brought them in and they threatened them and they said, don't you preach and don't you teach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. You can talk about God in generic terms all you want to in generic terms, but don't you get specific about Jesus. By what authority did you heal this man? They said, you know the man that you put on the cross, whom God hath raised from the dead, through faith in his name, this man stands before you whole. And they said they would have killed him, but they could not deny a notable miracle, something all the people saw happen, occurred right in their midst. And after they threatened them with death, they let them go because they feared the people. And when they let them go, here's how they prayed. They said, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may preach thy word. And so evidently he did, because they went on to pray, amen, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. God confirmed Jesus with signs and wonders. He confirmed his word with signs and wonders. That's a wonder. How can someone with something similar to spinal bifida, where the organs are on the outside, tumors are on the brain, how can that just go away? I didn't do that. I'm not a faith healer. I would never accept a title like that. But I pray in faith to a God who heals, a God who answers prayer. It's not just about healing, it's about help in the time of need. And healing's under the umbrella of that. And deliverance is under it. And answered prayer is under that. And if we don't get back to that, then all we can offer the world is our correct theology. And we got theologians that are good at that. And some of them are fighting what I'm talking about. They would have told Mama to take your child home. It must be the will of God, and he'll give you the grace to bear it. I would have been dead before I was 10 if I was in that kind of church, because they wouldn't have prayed for me. I had a call from a lady. Actually, I called her. She didn't call me. I called her. Used to come to our church years and years ago, because I sat down on my phone and she was in the phone from years ago. I sat down on the phone and it called. And I heard somebody talking. I picked it up. She said, is that you, Brother Venable? Because I said, hello, hello. Is that you, Brother Venable? I said, yeah. And we got in a conversation. I knew it was the Lord, because in the conversation, she has a progressive disease that is ultimately going to debilitate her first and then take her life. The doctor gave her the years that she could expect. She's under the pressure of that. And she said, I went up for prayer at my church, and my pastor went to pray for me, and he stopped and he said, you know, I don't believe that God wants to heal you. I believe that God wants to teach you something through this. And I told her, I said, ma'am, I said, I don't want to cast aspersions on your pastor. I don't know him, his background, where he comes from, what church you're going to. But I said, you know me. You know what I preach. You know what I teach. You know what I live. You know what I stand for. I said, if we don't believe God's going to, then there's no point in praying. I understand that. But why don't we believe? Why, if he loved us enough, Psalm 8:32, if he loved us enough to offer up, that he didn't just drop him in a manger and, no, he put him in a manger so he could go to the cross in our place. He knew when he came to this earth that he was going to be a sacrificed lamb. When John the Baptist saw him with the revelation, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. And I said, ma'am, you've got to get back in the Bible. No matter what anybody says, get in the Bible and claim the promises of God. Amen. For the yea and amen to them that believe. And I tried to build her faith, but the seed was already sown of defeat and despair and hopelessness. I will never concede to that. You say, Brother Vindle, I prayed nothing happened. Pray again. I prayed nothing happened. Get in the Bible and build your faith and then pray. Whatever we ask in prayer, believing, we shall receive. Brother Venable, I have trouble believing in God. We'll start praying and find out. I challenge people. Talk to him. Amen. Talk to him. See if he answers. See if he's there. I'm an agnostic. I believe there might be, but nobody can prove it. Well, if that don't prove it, I don't know what to tell you. Amen. I didn't do that. The doctors didn't do that. Somebody did it. Can you say, man, who's the somebody? It's the God who said, I'm God, and above me there's no other. Call on me. He not only answers prayer, he invites prayer. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. No wonder faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. It's the way God talks in the word. He doesn't mince words. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will hear and I will answer. I will deliver you. Praise God. I'll bend down to listen. I'll come down to answer. Praise God. Now, if you don't get any answer prayer, then, you know, I'd sit there like a bump on the log too. Sure. If you give up on God sending revival, look at the world like it is. Look at the evil. Look at God. Stretch forth thine hand to do what? Heal. And that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Hallelujah. And when they had prayed, the Bible said the place wherein they were gathered was shaken. And with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They didn't take a pilgrimage to a tomb which may or may not be the tomb that he was in. But there's no point in it. He's not there in it anyway. And the empty tomb doesn't prove that he's risen from the dead. But the man that you killed on the cross, the man whom God raised from the dead through faith in his name, this man stands before you whole. Can you say, man, I am a Pentecostal preacher. And I'm not talking about liver shivers and goose pimples. I'm talking about miracles and answer to prayer. Can you say, man? You said it one Sunday, and I took it to heart when we've had some Sundays that were sketchy out here. We got a little crowd. When a little crowd gets smaller, it's really sketchy out here. Amen. And you said, I'd rather go to a little church where prayers are answered than a biggest church there is without prayers being answered. Well, I'm glad you made that choice today. I'll make that choice 100 times over because I don't go to church to be entertained, and we don't offer entertainment. You can see that. But we do offer, amen, an opportunity to come to know the God that made heaven and earth, to come to Jesus by faith and have your sins forgiven and know you're going to heaven and not going to hell. Hallelujah. Amen. and God is on the move. God is going to counter. Last thing I'm going to say, which means nothing, but I'm going to try to stop. Amen. I don't want to be a liar. Amen. Listen, I believe God is going to counter the evil that we're seeing with His goodness. He said, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And we're not just talking about good deeds and kindness to our enemies. We're talking about a God who said, amen, in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, the Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knows them that trust in Him. And because God is good and God is gracious because of His goodness, I believe God is going to hear the cry of His people to counter all of the evil and wickedness we're seeing with a mighty move of His Holy Spirit. Amen. Confirming His word with signs following. We'll never convince them with our arguments and our correct theology in and of itself. We need the living God to work in people's lives and show the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ again. Well, that's my say. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to pray today. And then can we have Psalm 34 to close? Or you have something? You got something. All right. Hallelujah. Let's believe God today. Let's believe God today. If you'll stand here, Brother Taylor, Sister Taylor, we're going to pray together right here today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There are multiple physical needs right here. And we're going to ask the Lord today to do what He said He would do. Incline His ear to us and come down to answer us today. James 5:14 says, if there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. That's faith on their part. She came before we began the service and told me of all the physical needs. She's been diagnosed. She works at a hospital. So all of these things are very clear to her that they told her. But there is a God who overrules. There is a God who has all power. Amen. And there's a God who loves you enough to hear the prayer we're going to pray. Let them call the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil. Not in the name of an organization, denomination, or a preacher, or a pastor, or evangelist, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they've committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them. God said, I will deal with whatever there is, whatever is necessary to clear the way that I can come down and help. I'm going to deal with it all when you pray this prayer. Father, they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover is a promise to those who carry the gospel. I have carried your gospel for over 53 years. And Father, I'm laying hands on my sister in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, let healing flow in her body. Healing that can be verified, hallelujah, by the doctors, the nurses, all of the tests and the data. Hallelujah. Let her be a healthy young woman. She belongs to you. She's your child. And we come to receive, not to beg for, but to receive children's bread in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And for the glory of God, we ask it. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah.